Turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 19. We'll begin there. Last week we talked about the cloud. The week before, the Passover. And these are so important when you study the book of Numbers, because you find out that after these three elements, the Passover, the cloud, and the trumpets, the nation moves. It's so sad. They moved from the wilderness of Sinai to the wilderness of Paran. They just moved from one wilderness to another, but they moved, you know, and I'm excited about that, as the Lord shows us things, we may move from one wilderness to another, but at least we move. And there's something there, and the Lord's going to help me understand it, but we're about to move. After these 10 verses, in the 11th verse, in the 10th chapter, the cloud moves, the trumpet sound, and the people move. So we're about to move from Sinai. How many are ready? In your own wilderness, you're ready to move. Okay? Well, that's what we're looking at. In Exodus, the 19th chapter, the nation of Israel has been delivered. Exodus 19 has been delivered from Egypt. And they've wandered through the wilderness of sin into now the wilderness of Sinai. They're at Mount Sinai. They've come to the mount. And in the 20th chapter, they receive the Ten Commandments. But here in the 19th chapter, we want to note something. In verse 10, Exodus 19 and 10, the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes. How many knows it's necessary to come clean before the Lord? You need to get clean before Him sometimes. Just clean up. I mean, and I'm not talking about our clothes. I'm talking about we just need to confess up. Fess up and get clean. And be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon the Mount of Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds. Shalt set what? Bounds. Notice now that's important. Thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, he shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. What was the sounding? What was the sign that would bring them to the mount? What? Trumpet. Long blast of the trumpet. The trumpet soundeth long. What we're going to be looking at tonight is the trumpet. Last week we looked at the clouds, and the week before the Passover and the blood, and this week we're going to be talking about the trumpet and trumpets. And the thing I want to point out initially as we begin this study tonight is I want us to see that this, Doug, is the last instruction before they leave. I don't know if you can understand the magnitude of the last instruction. Before we leave the Mount of Sinai, before we get to go on into the journeyings, we must hear the trumpet. So it's important that we find out what the trumpet is. It's important that we not only find out what it is, but that we hear it. And what it's supposed to do when we hear it. And so, the importance that we'll be looking at today is learning the trumpet and its blast in our lives. So we're going to be looking at the trumpets today, and I want to read, where did I stop at? And verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning, there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the what? Say to me, the voice of the trumpet. Does the trumpet have a voice? Do people have a voice? Would you say then that this voice was probably a person? the voice of the trumpet. It sounded exceeding long, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. What did they do? They met with God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses beginning at verse 16 to the end of the chapter, it says that the Lord Himself shall descend with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God shall sound. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Therefore we will meet the Lord and evermore be with the Lord. We will meet the Lord in the air. Now what did they do here at the mount? They met the Lord. There's something there, Doug. There's a meeting the Lord here at Sinai. Now, I think it's got something to do there with it. It's strange that that similarity is there in 1 Thessalonians, that we will meet the Lord in the clouds and evermore be with Him. So there's something here about, last week we studied the cloud. Okay? And it was on the mount. And now we're going to meet the Lord and He's on the mount. So there's something here. But they met with God and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on the smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke therefore ascended, and the smoke of the furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the what? When the what? Sound or the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake and God answered him by voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Look at verse 20, there's no need in reading all of this. But in chapter 20, beginning at verse 1, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the land, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. And he gives the Ten Commandments. And he goes through here and he gives the Ten Commandments. He set borders, now he's given commandments. And then in verse 18, after the Ten Commandments are given, commandment number 10 is verse 17, and then in verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the, now it's a noise. It's not a voice anymore now. In the King, what does some other versions say? Sound. King James Bible says the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. Today we're going to be looking at the trumpets, the two silver trumpets of God. And I wanted to read that to begin with and initially, because it's upon that basis that we're going to begin our study and look at our study today concerning the trumpets of God. The chapter, and I'm now on the notes on page 169. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, that's how the chapter begins. Is that a new principle? Do you know this principle? What is the principle of this principle? Our God speaks. And I want you to say something. You know, I want you to hear me. God just doesn't want to speak to you. I want you to know God does speak to you. It's just up to us whether we want to listen to it or not, or whether we want Moses to tell us what he said. We can hear it, but a lot of folks would rather somebody else tell us what he's saying. Because you see, we don't like borders, and we don't like commandments. And if God says it, then I can't disobey it. But if Delbert says it, well, that's just Delbert. And it really doesn't matter if I do it or not, because it's just Delbert. Am I right? Hello? But when we say God said, that's a whole nother area. And it's a whole lot better to remove ourselves from the voice and say, you know, Delbert, you tell us what he's saying. And let us decide whether we want to do it or not. And that's pretty much what we've got here in this chapter, and that's pretty much what we've got today. But God sounds as a trumpet. There is no mistaking that it's God. I know that people hear God, and I know they know that God is saying what I'm saying to them, but yet and still they get mad at me because I say it. All right. It'll be a great lesson. It says, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them. You got two trumpets here in verses 1 through verse 10 of Numbers chapter 10 that's concerned with. It's a twofold reference in this thing. The first purpose is that we see in that second verse is that it's primarily for the calling of the assembly, and secondly for the journeying from the camp. Primary purpose of the sounding of the voice of God is for assembling together. You didn't hear me? Listen! The primary purpose of the voice of God and the sounding of the trumpet is for the assembling of together. Let's look at that Numbers chapter 10, verse 2. Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for, number one, the calling of the assembly, and number two, the journeyings of the camp. What is the number one purpose of the sounding of the trumpet of God? Number two, journeyings of the camp. Why can't people hear the trumpet? They don't want to. You tell us, devil, if you say come, we don't have to. You all know I'm telling the truth. Everybody here knows God says, assemble yourselves together. What he says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, even more as you see the day approaching. We all know in our hearts, we hear that in our hearts, assemble together, assemble together, assemble together. Where are we? 30 here tonight? Don't count. Probably not that many. I'm probably evangelistically there. Did they hear the trumpet? Did everybody on Mount Sinai hear that trumpet? Are people hearing the trumpet sound off that they need to assemble together? Well, good lesson. It is a good lesson already. We could stop and we know what God has said to us. All right. Second purpose was the journeying from camp. And we've talked about that. We've got to move. Were the people of God excited about hearing this voice of God? At Mount Sinai, were they excited about hearing this thunderous trumpet voice of God? Did they say, oh boy, God is talking to us? No. Because we don't like borders. He said, set borders, get yourself cleaned up. We don't want to do that. And then secondly he said, I'm going to give you commandments. We don't want no commandments. Don't give me no. You tell Moses, let Moses tell us. We don't have to do it. Moses says do it. And so what people say is they really don't need this. You know, we don't need this. Well, I know you hear the same trumpet I hear. Now, let's go ahead and determine who this trumpet is that we're talking about. Who is this trumpet? Who is the trumpet? After all the 102 times that the term trumpet is used in the Scriptures, who is the trumpet that the Scriptures are really referring to? And if you look with me in the book of Revelation, don't turn, just over on your side there, under, I didn't space a space there, under Exodus 19:16, the next verse, Revelation 1:10, tells us who the trumpet is. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. John said, I fell down, I turned around, and who did he see? The glorified Christ. The voice of the trumpet is Jesus. This voice on Sinai, this voice of the trumpet is Jesus. And as we move through this, and as we look at the purposes and the reasons for the trumpets, what we're going to see is that it's really Jesus speaking inside of our hearts through His priest, because it was only the priest that could blow the trumpets. Amen? And through prayer. And it's through these things that we will hear the voice of the trumpet that's going off inside of our hearts. So I want us to understand initially that the voice of the trumpet is the trumpet sounding, and it's Jesus, it's the voice of Jesus sounding off inside of our hearts. Now, throughout the book of Revelation, the trumpet sounds. It talks about the seven trumps. Do you remember the book of Revelation? And if the voice of the trumpet in Revelation chapter 1 verse 10 is the voice of Jesus Christ, then who are these trumpets sounding throughout the book of Revelation, these seven trumpets that sound throughout? Of course, it's Jesus. Sure it is. Jesus Christ is sounding, and He's sounding, and He's sounding. Pardon? The revelation of Jesus Christ. So He keeps sounding the trumpet. So I want us to understand that as we look at this, he writes His letters to the seven churches. The seven trumpets are sounding, and it's a letter to the seven churches, and He's speaking to the seven angels. Who are sounding these seven trumpets that the Bible is talking about in the book of Revelation? Who keeps blowing these trumpets? Pardon? Angels. The messengers. So I want to project to you that a church has a messenger, has a trumpet that sounds, which is the voice of God, which is the voice of Jesus Christ. He is sounding it. He is blowing the trumpet. And as that voice comes to us, it is that as though we ascend upon Sinai, and we can accept it or we can reject it. We can remove ourselves from it, or we can say, speak to us, Lord, I want to ascend into Your glory, and I want to find out what You're about. Now, I remember times in my wilderness when I heard the voice sound as a trumpet. He sounded off inside my heart. And all of us, you know, we think that we want to hear the voice of God. We really do. We really think, Lord, speak to me. I really want to hear Your voice. But I'm not real sure that we really do. Because what God's going to do for you when He speaks to you in a trumpet, He's going to establish borders in your life. He's going to say, you can go here, you can't go here. And He's going to give you commandments. And we don't like that. But I want to say to us as I finish up page 169 that it is vital that you learn the voice of this trumpet. It is vital that you learn to understand it. It is vital that you learn what it's about, simply because this one reason, on Resurrection Day, it's that trumpet that's going to sound. Well, amen. And I want to hear it. And you better be open-eared to that sound. And you better not be removed from it. Trumpets of silver. Well, here we go. Okay. Now, in the Bible, the Scriptures, it talks about a lot of metals. It talks about iron, it talks about bronze, it talks about silver, and it talks about gold. And these talks about degrees of preciousness to God. These trumpets are silver. It talks about a very precious metal. In the tabernacle, there were silver. In the temple of Solomon, there was silver. And all of these things that God builds always has silver. Redemption is referred to silver. So what we're talking about is a very precious thing. So when these silver trumpets sounded, we're talking about something sounding that is precious. Okay? And throughout this chapter, in these first 10 verses, we'll see five, no less than five specific purposes that these five trumpets sound. I want to hear each one of them. I don't want to miss a one of them. Each one of them is precious. Each one of them is very precious to me. Number one, we'll hear that it's the assembling of ourselves together. Number one, there is nothing more precious to me than the saints coming together. Now, that's not precious to some people, but to me, that's precious. And to me, that's a trump that sounds in my heart, that goes off a couple times a week, that get yourselves with the people of God, get yourselves together, assemble together. It's precious to me. Number two, it's an assembling of leaders together. The leaders come together at the voice of God. God calls leadership. It's an understanding that God, that's precious to me. This one trumpet that sounds for leadership. Unity, and we're talking about a oneness as leaders come together in a oneness and in a leadership capacity that we come together in a unity and we hear the same sound. That's precious to me. How about you? The third one we're going to talk about is movement. When the trumpet sounded, the people moved. How many knows that it's precious to move? Well, we love to see a church moving, don't we? We love our church to move. We love to see churches moving. We love to see them going on in God and moving and growing and going on. We like the movement more than we like the assembly. But it's all precious. Number four, it's a sound of war. Sound of war. War is precious. Beating up the devil is precious. Defeating the enemy is precious. He that overcometh. You see, it's overcoming the enemy. It's defeating the enemy. It's overcoming him. That's what's precious in our life. That's what causes us to come into the nature and the stature and the fullness that belongs unto Christ. And then number five, it's a gladness. It's a time of feast, festivities. I think Sunday we had a sounding of the trumpets here. Gave us a new moon, gave us a new beginning. It kind of stirred up something in us and started us all over again. I'll talk about that later. Okay. But are these things precious? Now, on the offset, are you hearing these things? And as I go through them, all five, are you hearing these in your heart? Or are you removing yourself from the mount and saying, I don't want to hear that? Somebody else talk to me. Are you hearing these five intricate things that the trump or the voice of Jesus Christ speaks to us? If you're hearing what I'm hearing, if you hear the same trumpet and the same sound I'm hearing, you're hearing all five of these. You don't have any problems hearing these things. You know God is saying these things to us. I'm on page 170. It should be 181. that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly. If you look over at verses 2 and 3, it says, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece thou shalt make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camp. And verse 3 says, and when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, as I just stated, there are five specific purposes. The first one and the primary purpose of these trumpets is to assemble together. Folks, let me tell you something. If there's not a sound in your heart that tells you you need to assemble together with the saints, then you're not hearing the trumpet. The primary purpose of the trumpet, the voice of Jesus Christ, the voice of God, is telling you to assemble together. And if we're not hearing that, then we have removed ourselves too far from the mount, and we are wanting to hear somebody else say something, but what God is truly saying to us is assemble together. The primary purpose of the trumpets is so that we will come together, and we must hear that. In our hearts, it must be saying, get together with the saints of God. Assemble with the saints of God. Be together with the saints of God. I write here in that second paragraph that it's so sad to me when I talk to people who say they don't believe that it's important to assemble in the church. They don't believe it's important that they've got to go to church every Sunday. That they don't have to have a quote unquote organized church, a group of people coming together, an ecclesia. Breaks my heart. They're not hearing the trumpet. The first thing the trumpet says is assemble together. Number two. Second thing is, then the princes shall gather themselves unto thee. The leaders, this is talking about leadership. If they blow one trumpet, then the princes which are heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee. It's the coming together of the leadership. One trumpet sounding calls the leaderships together. The voice of God calls leadership. The voice of God calls leadership together. It brings leadership together. It brings them together with a single sound. That's so pretty. That's so beautiful to me. It's not a double sound here. Not four or five trumpets sounding. It's one trumpet. Leadership coming together into one sound, joining together. One trumpet, a single sound. I also believe that leadership should hear the same sound. I don't believe they should hear this trumpet sound and another trumpet sound. I think that leadership should hear the same sound. Singleness. Too many sounds cause leaderships to divide. I've been there, I know. Well, I think we ought to do this. Well, I think we ought to do that. Well, I think we ought to do this. The next thing you know, you've got a divided leadership because we're not hearing a single sound. Leadership needs to hear a single sound. The third reason, it says, go forward, they shall blow an alarm for their journeys. Go forward. Our God is not a God of backing up, right? He's a God of going forward. And he sounds it and he says, I want to go on. I want to go forward. Verse 5 talks about going forward. And then verse 6 says, you shall take their journey. This life, this walk that we're on, this thing that we're into with Jesus Christ is a journey. It's an always going forward. It's a heading for a purpose. And it's heading for the destination. I want to read that. I want to read that first paragraph there under number 3. Go forward in your journeys. The third sound is the sound to move. A very interesting point here is that all the nation did not move at the same sound. A sound blew and those on the east moved. Another blew and those on the south moved. Two occurrences took place for movement. First the cloud moved. Then the trumpet sounded to move. The cloud could move, but I could not move until I heard the trumpet. I want to say something, okay? Here's. We talked last week about the cloud, and the cloud moved at the commandment of the Lord. Amen? Didn't move, couldn't move until. Moses couldn't do nothing. He couldn't build a tabernacle. He couldn't go up on the mountain fast 40 days. He couldn't call Jethro in to preach to him. He couldn't do nothing to make that cloud move. The cloud moved at the command of the Lord. But even though the cloud moved, they couldn't move until the trumpet sounded. If another church is moving, and we're not moving, does that mean there's something wrong with us? See, a sound would come, a trumpet would sound, the trumpets would sound, and those on the east would move. And then when they got moved, then the sound would come, and those on the south would move. See, there is a specific sound that's going to come when we move. And just because we're not doing what somebody else is doing doesn't mean there's something wrong with us. Or just because somebody else isn't doing what we're doing doesn't mean there's something wrong with them. But no matter what happens, we can't move till the trumpet sound. Have you ever noticed that sometimes the trumpet sounds and we all mostly hear the same sound, but yet there's some still in our midst that don't hear it? Well, I didn't hear that. I want to go over there. Have you ever heard? You know what I'm saying? We got the trumpet is sounding and people can't hear the trumpets. All right, number four. I'm on page 171, actually page 182. Number four is to go to war. I want to read that verse. Verse 9. And if you go to war, your land against the enemies... let's start over. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. A couple of thoughts here. First of all, when we go to war, we need to sound the trumpets. Okay? And he says here that when you go to war with the enemies that oppresses you, that if we sound the trumpets, that God would remember us and he'd save us from the enemy. Now, there's a couple applications that I want to bring out here. We've already seen that the voice of the Lord is Jesus. In this application, I think it's also his body. Do you believe that you are a trumpet? Do you believe that when you pray, God hears you? And that you have the right to remind him and bring him in remembrance that you're at war? Hey, God, here I am. Don't forget about me. And the Bible says that we do that and we sound the trumpet. And also see Jesus as the intercessor who ever liveth to make intercessions for you and I. So I see this thing in a couple of different ways. And the primary way that I want to bring it to us is that an understanding that when we go to war, we need to pray. Prayer is important. How important is a praying church? How important is it to pray when we go to war? And let's look at a scripture. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 13. Just turn there, and you're going to see an application of the sounding of the trumpet. 2 Chronicles, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, and 2 Chronicles. Chapter 13. Now what's happened in this chapter is Rehoboam is the son of Solomon. And Jeroboam has rebelled. And he has taken 10 of the tribes north and has formed the nation of Israel. And Rehoboam, Solomon's son, is Judah. And now they're going to war with each other. And so they come together, and now what the enemy has done is set up an ambushment. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 13. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them. So they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. How many ever feels like the devil can set up an ambushment for you? You're between a hard place and a rock. And it doesn't seem any way out. Okay? You got the doctors on one side and the creditors on the other. And there's no way out of this thing. And the enemy has set up an ambushment for you. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. And they cried unto the Lord. And the priests sounded with the trumpets. Now what did they do? They did two things. They cried unto the Lord, and they sounded the trumpets. So I see an association here in this application that with the sounding of the trumpets when we're in a war, that we also cry unto the Lord. Then verse 15, then the men of Judah gave a shout. So when you cry, you can shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter. So there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. Why did they prevail? Because they relied upon the Lord God. When you get in these situations and these ambushments that we find ourselves in so often, too often, it seems so stupid sometimes to cry out to the Lord. And that word cry there means to proclaim His greatness. Somebody being eaten up of cancer doesn't sound very wise to proclaim that God is the healer. Does somebody in financial difficulty kind of sounds stupid for them to say, the Lord is my provider? But when we understand the principle here of sounding the trumpet and proclaiming the name of the Lord, the Bible gives us a promise. Ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and He shall save. You shall be saved from your enemies. You should be saved from your enemies. Does God have to be reminded to come and save us? Or do we need to pray? What do you think He's saying to us? I hear God saying there's a powerful aspect in a praying church. We need to pray when we go to war. I want to be a part of a praying church. And the last thing that we see here about the trumpets, they sounded at the assembly. They sounded for the leadership. They sounded for the leadership. They sounded to go forward for the movement. They sounded for war. And the last one is they sounded for joy and thanksgiving. Numbers 10:10 says, also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months. I want to talk about that. You shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. Over the offerings, we're talking here, and these offerings that are mentioned, the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, these were fellowship offerings. These were times when people would get together and have fellowship. A portion, we talked about these before, a portion of the sacrifice was burned on the altar to God in a worship and a fellowship with Him. We give some of it to Him. A portion of it was given to the priest. We were in fellowship with them. And then a portion was just shared with the people that we love. A fellowshipping. How many of you believe that from time to time you need to renew and have a new beginning with God? And you need a new and a new beginning with those that minister to you, and a new beginning with your close friends. You understand what I'm saying? It's kind of like a new beginning. It's a joyful time. I think that last Sunday we had one of those here. I had something start afresh and anew in me when I heard people coming up and sharing what God was doing in their lives. How excited they were and how God was moving. God is true and God is faithful. And it renews me to know that. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's just an exciting time to have a new month. And at the new month or the new moon, they would do this. Now, I don't know, you know, I've learned a little bit about fishing and fish mate at the new moon. They lay eggs, and on the new moon, every, you know, they go into a new cycle, and on the full moon, they lay eggs, but at the new moon, they start their cycle. The first month. And, we'll get real, real clear, but ladies have a recycling. Okay? They go through a newness, a new beginning. animals, okay, the natural has this newness and this new beginning. And this happens, and it's a newness and a freshness, and there's a cleansing, and the blood and all that stuff, and we can't get into all that, but you understand what I'm trying to say here. There is a newness that comes forth, and it is a time of gladness. And while they were doing all this, there was a sounding of the trumpets. And I think that last Sunday right here, that the trumpets were sounding. And there was a freshness, and it was a newness, and it was like a new beginning. And I'd love to have one of those every month. It's a cleansing, and it's an edifying, and it's a joyful time. And when I hear people happy, it encourages me, and it gives me strength. Let's read on page 172 or 183. Whichever one you want to read from. The top, Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them. We sing this, don't we? What about that? Some of God. Send portions unto them whom have nothing, and nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. How many got strength in Sunday when you heard those trumpets sounding? When you heard those priests ministering, when you heard those priests sounding those trumpets and blasting out into us and assembling together, and something went off in our hearts and caused us to say, well, I can go to war a little bit more, and hey, let's get together, and you know, and all these things that we've talked about right here tonight, we hear that going off inside of us, and there's this thing happening. Read that top paragraph. When I hear happy and joyful people giving thanksgiving, I hear something inside of me. I hear a trumpet. The Lord is true. The Lord is faithful. I feast upon that and receive their joy as it sounds a trumpet in me. This encourages me and I receive strength. It's like a new moon, a new beginning, a new month. We get a fresh start and a new set of days. And people sound their trumpets, the gladness we hear, of trumpets of gladness, we hear something good inside of us. Is that true? Trumpets were sounding Sunday. Amen. So I've given you the five reasons of the sounding of the trumpets. The assembling, the leaders, the journey, the war, the joy, and thanksgiving. So I've got to ask you now, do you hear those? Do you hear that it's important to assemble? Do you hear the trumpet sounding that leadership should hear a single sound, and that God calls the leaders together? Do you hear God says, I want you to move. When I sound the trumpets, we're going to move. Do you hear the war cry? Do you hear the joy and the thanksgiving? Okay. Then who's responsible for sounding the trumpets? Can just anybody sound the trumpet? And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall blow the trumpet. There's verse 8 over there. It says, and the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you, and this shall be to you an ordinance forever throughout your generation. How long? How long will this last? How long will the priest sound the trumpets? Talk about both of those. First of all, understand, everyone cannot blow the trumpet. It's only the priests that blow these precious silver trumpets. There are your scriptures. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And then we talked about that before in Revelation 1, 6, and have made us kings and priests unto God. It's God's ideal that all of His people be priests. Is that God's ideal? But are all of God's people priests? In that, they minister at the altar and they sound the trumpets. Yeah. Sad. Sad. God's priest, when you're called a priest, you know you're a priest. You minister at the altar. And then now here we see the sounding of the trumpet. They shall be to you an ordinance forever. An ordinance forever. Seven times that phrase is given, ordinance forever. And when the scriptures say something like that, it intrigues me. Any time it talks about something forever, what's he talking about? That means something for me. That means there's something there for me. Because forever is still going on. Forever is forever. And so there are your seven times that it's used there. But I understand that when the scriptures say something forever, then I know that God is saying something for now, for today. And I give you these things. One of them is the Passover. It's an ordinance forever. We've talked about that the new covenant was established upon the Passover covenant. And it's forever. There are truths of the Passover that will go on until this age ends. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is an ordinance forever. And it talks about getting the leaven out. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, getting the leaven out of our lives. There is an ordinance forever that we need to understand the trueness of the unleavened bread. There is the law of concerning the strangers. That's an ordinance forever. I just wrote a little bit about that. That's in Numbers 15:15, if you wanted to look it up. But the law says that when a stranger comes into your midst, that they will worship and they will do what you do. For example, you have a stranger come to your house, or a relative maybe come to your house, and he's maybe not a Christian, or he's not saved, or he doesn't worship like you do. Do you stop and worship like he worships, or do what he does? So if they don't go to church, and you go to church, and it's Sunday, then what do you do? Do what? Okay. If they don't read the Bible and they don't pray, and you do, what do you do? That's it. See, it's simple. But yet and still, I find out more times than not, when people get company, when people get relatives or strangers coming in that don't do it like we do it, we stop and do it their way. But it's an ordinance forever. Oh, me, dealt with. Number five, the sounding of the trumpets, and this one is that we're talking about is an ordinance forever. It lasts forever, the sounding of the trumpets by the priest. It's a symbol for leadership, for movement, for war, and for rejoicing. It's ordinance forever. Forever. Trumpet still sounding, Steve. SS still sounding, Steve. It's still sounding. How many believes that God is still saying, assemble yourselves together? How many believes that God still wants leadership that hears a single trumpet? How many believes that God still says, I want you to go to war, and I want you to pray when you go to war? God's still saying, when you have a feast time, when you have a good time, rejoicing, sound the trumpets. Get each other new, renewed. Get new beginnings. Get this going inside of you. God's still saying these things. It's time for joy and thanksgiving. Now, I'm done, but I do want to point this out, and I've already said it once. Let's make sure we've made this point. Is the trumpet the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does Revelation say that it is? And so, when we hear these things being proclaimed, is it really the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're hearing? Because unless that's settled in you, and unless you can hear the trumpets, you'll never leave Sinai. You'll never leave it. You'll never leave and begin getting away from that place in the wilderness, going to the next place. And I've written there at the bottom, the final instruction before the journeys from the wilderness was the instructions concerning the trumpets. Before we leave, I don't know what I mean here, our person in the wilderness. Before we leave the wilderness, we must understand the instructions concerning the trumpets. We will never, ever leave where we're at until we're able to hear the trumpet sounding. Assembling, leadership, gladness and joy, war. What's the other one? One more. Rejoicing. Leaders, journeys. Journeys that God wants us to move. How many hear the trumpets? Raise your hand. You hear. You know what I'm saying. And that trumpet sounds in your heart. I know you do. I know you really do. You wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't hear that. And God's trumpet is sounding, and it amazes me that God's people can't hear it or won't respond to it. And I think they do what we talked about in Exodus 19 and 20, is they remove themselves afar off. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. God says that I'll have to do it. Preacher says that it gives me some leeway here. But they hear the trumpet. Jim, they hear the trumpet. Everybody hears the trumpet. Everybody here has heard what I've said tonight. Not from me. You've already heard it. You know what I'm saying. God's people aren't stupid. They hear the trumpet. Let's stand. First, I want to pray for us that we'll hear the trumpet. Then I want to pray that the people in our fellowship that seem to remove themselves afar off hear the trumpet. And then I want to pray for a man that he'll hear the trumpet sounding concerning his journeys and his life. Father, we come so humbly to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, for anybody to stand and to think they can proclaim the Word of God in absolute purity, that person's deceived. And Lord, I know that you have to filter what you once said to an earthen vessel. But Lord, I do know that these things that I have said tonight, I hear so loud in my heart. And I believe that the truths that I've said are true and as pure, Lord, as I can bring them. And Lord, I ask you, not only for me, but for, Lord, these that are here, that have heard this tonight about the trumpet, Lord, I pray that we can hear that trumpet even clearer and louder now and not be deceived by the enemy, thinking that it's something else, but we can know that it's you. We can know the five purposes of what we hear sounding in our hearts. The sounding of assembling. The sounding for leaders that are pure and of one accord. The soundings of journeyings and the soundings for war and defeating of the devil and the kingdom coming of God. The soundings for rejoicing. I pray, Lord God, that we can hear that and we can know that it's you speaking to us. And Father, I pray also for our body, our church, Lord God, our nation, that, Lord, our ears would be open, that we could hear. I pray for them, Lord, and I ask you, Lord, to help them. Because, Lord, they'll never leave where they're at until they hear this trumpet sound. I'll never leave where I'm at if I can't hear the trumpet. Though the cloud's moving, Lord, I can't move until I hear the trumpet. Help me, Lord. Help us. Now we want to agree together for a man. Father, you said that when one member hurts, we all hurt. When one member rejoices, we all rejoice. And Lord, when one member has a need, we all have a need. And we want to pray for Ahmad. Ahmad, would you and Carrie come up here, please? And I just ask everybody to reach their hands out. Ahmad and Carrie have a desire in their heart, and they want to begin a business. And it's a restaurant type business they want to begin. They've been doing some investigating and some checking into, and they found that some of those that they could acquire are so expensive that people are asking astronomical amounts. And they want to agree. They want to know that this is what they're supposed to do. They want to hear that trumpet. And so we want to agree with them. We want to pray for them. So would you just stretch out and let's get in agreement. Wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, He's in the midst. And anything we ask, He'll do. And if we ask it according to His will, we have confidence that He not only hears us, but He gives us the desire that we've asked and the petition of Him. So Lord, we do that right now. We come together in the name of Jesus, Father, in agreement. Lord, You're here.